present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And today we are delighted to welcome back Sheila Hancock, who's going to... who's going to pit her wits and brains and knowledge against our three regular male contestants at the game, who are too notorious to be introduced again. So let us begin the show this week with Sheila Hancock. But just to remind you, I'm going to ask them all to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. Sheila, will you begin, please, with the subject of sneakers? Can you talk about sneakers for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are a peculiarly nasty type of people, whom I have met many of, particularly when I was at school. I remember there was one particular girl called Anne Roberts, whom I hope is not listening, but she was pretty nasty. And I joined the Young Farmers Club on one occasion. And she let out to the headmistress that the only reason I joined this organization was that when I was supposed to be cleaning out the rabbits, I gave my milk to junior members of the school.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Hesitation.
Oh, you mean...
No, I don't think it was quite. Almost hesitation, but not quite. So, Sheila, you have a point, and you keep the subject. You have 30 seconds left, and you start now.
And this girl sneaked to Miss Jane's that's what I was doing. She also told her that the only reason I joined the cricket team was that we played on a pitch that was next to the boys' school. And on top of that, I used to pretend I was hot and take my skirt off so they could see my knickers. And she told this lady about it, and this lady wasn't best pleased. However, when I got...
Well, whoever's speaking when the whistle goes in this game, as you well know, gains the extra point, and it was Sheila Hancock.
You're
and,
being very gracious, because well, I didn't once you took this your lady.
Yes, you did, but once you took your skirt off to show your knickers, they resisted that sense of deviation, or maybe they didn't think it was very devious. Anyway, Sheila, at the end of that round, you have 2 points. You have a commanding lead over everybody else, because they've yet to speak.
Yes.
So, we now move on to Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is civil servants. Can you talk about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
They are usually associated with forms and offices. They do useful work. The most attractive civil servant I ever met was in Colwyn Bay during the war. She'd been evacuated from Whitehall. Her name was Veronica Hawksworth. If by any chance she is listening to this broadcast, I should be very pleased to hear from her again. She was a delightful civil servant. I don't know exactly what papers she had to deal with, but one of her envelopes I still treasure to this day. And on St. Valentine's Eve every year, I open it and read it so that I can refresh my memory of this wonderful incident.
Clement Freud,
in
why
are
you challenged?
Deviation. You can't open the envelope annually.
You can't open the envelope?
He said he kept the envelope.
Yes.
And every year on St. Valentine's Eve, he opened it.
Yes.
There are
and then
a
the
limited
day after
number of years.
St. Valentine's Eve, I closed it again.
I think Peter's made serious. His point. I mean, after all, what do you mean by opening an envelope? Do you mean that you have to actually lift the flap, or you have to break it open? I mean, you can have a broken flap and just lift it up and pull it apart and take out the letter, and that could be described as opening the envelope.
He never mentioned a letter.
What?
He never mentioned a letter.
I'm coming to the letter.
I'm fascinated with Veronica Hawksworth. I want to know, and I want like to know next week if she writes as well, Peter. No, I disagree with the challenge. You have a point for a wrong challenge, and you have 13 seconds to continue with civil servants starting now.
It was written on the traditional government buff notepaper, and the date was October the 15th, 1941. And it said, "Dear Peter, I have been waiting to write to you for..."
Kenneth Williams has challenged just before the whistle.
I don't believe civil servants write to you by a Christian name, address you like that, dear Peter. Be love next, won't
we've
it, dear?
We've met him. But if you'd had this close relationship with Veronica Hawksworth...
But it's on government buff notepaper, he said, sir.
She couldn't afford the other.
We met in the bomb shelter.
And
what
she was using... Look, just because poor Veronica's been compromised in this way and Peter's letting secrets out of the bag or out of the envelope, saying how she happens to filch a piece of government buff paper to write a personal letter saying, "Dear Peter, I'm completely with this story. I'm absolutely with Peter. You have 2 seconds on civil servants, Peter, starting now."
There were other civil servants in the same office.
So Peter Jones kept going on the subject that he started with and gained the extra point for speaking when the whistle went, so now he has 3 points, a lead of one over Sheila at the end of that round, and Kenneth and Clement have yet to score. And Kenneth, we now hear from you with the subject of Charles Stewart. And you have 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, as Veronica Hawksworth always used to say, this is a King Charles's head, and this means a preoccupation of sorts, and of course stems from the fact that this monarch was executed. He married this woman, Henrietta Maria, who brought over a load of priests and things with her, and caused a lot of angrimony.
Peter Hancock has challenged.
Well, it was a touch of your hesitations, wasn't it, really?
A touch of the repetitions of
the egg. I was mixed up between aggravation and acrimony.
Yeah.
I know, it's so difficult when you have to
keep... I knew what I was after. It wasn't hesitation, it was stumbling.
And Sheila was the quickest on the buzzer there, so... And so she gains a point for a correct challenge. She takes over the subject, and there are 34 seconds left, Sheila. Charles Stewart, starting now.
He did cause a lot of aggravation. However, he did have pretty ringlets and black wig and loved spaniels. I think that's the one we're talking about anyway. And he had a son called James. He, I think, was a descendant of Mary...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of think, think.
Yes, we've had a bit too much thinking there. It's very difficult.
Well, I'm having to, you know, because I don't know much about him.
Well, as you think, don't say you're thinking.
No, I'm delving the depths of me ignorance.
Clement Freud, I agree with your challenge. You take over the subject. There are 18 seconds left. Charles Stewart, starting now.
After the interregnum, Charles II came to the throne in 1660 and immediately proved himself to be...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Because Williams is not the one we're discussing.
But the subject on the card is Charles Stewart.
Yeah, well, that always refers to Charles I.
No, it could be Charles the Young Pretender, couldn't it?
No,
he was Charles Stewart. The Young Pretender was Charles Stewart, wasn't he?
It always refers to Charles I, and Sheila Hancock rightly described Charles I.
It could be Charles...
I was describing Charles II, actually.
Any king of the House of Stuart.
It's what it is.
Oh, I thought it was Charles II.
Oh, well done, Sheila.
Well, they're all Stuarts, aren't they? They all happen to be called
actually,
Charles.
Actually, if you wanted, it's what I actually read out. You could say this, it was Charles, S-T-E-U-A-R-T, who's a chap who lives just down the road from me. You could talk about him if you wanted. Anyway, so I disagree with the challenge, Kenneth. Clement,
you couldn't expect us to talk about him. You know, we don't know anyone in your area of London, at least
no.
I don't.
I'm well, I thought Kenneth talked about Veronica Hawksworth, and he'd never met her before.
No, but she's the one that rushed in and said, "Mine's a light," and somebody brought back the cold water over her.
Let's get back to just a minute, shall we? 8 seconds for you, Clement Freud, having got an extra point for a wrong challenge. Charles Stewart, starting now.
Prior to the king that I've just mentioned, Charles I of Stuart came to the throne in 1603 and was a good...
Was Charles, was it 1603?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Clement Freud, you've taken the lead at the end of that round alongside Sheila Hancock and Peter Jones. And Clement, you begin now, and the subject is minis. You have 60 seconds on minis, starting now.
Minis is the plural of mini, which is anything small or particularly, yes.
Kenneth Williams, you have challenged.
Well, no hesitation.
Yes, he was going rather slowly. He was doing a sort of Kenneth Williams, I thought, actually. The thing is that actually on that 1603, minis. I think you were a bit confused. 1603 was James the First. He came to throne in 1603.
Yes, but it's not up to the chairman to object.
After
halfway,
the event.
Halfway, way through the next subject.
Well, I tell you why. I do get a lot of letters, and I would have had a letter saying nobody challenged Clement Freud when he said that Charles I came to the throne in 1603. And when I said, was it Charles I, and you said, oh, yes, it was, I would have had letters saying, you're an ignorant old so-and-so, Parsons. It wasn't. It was James I. So I've now, I hope, stopped all those hundreds of letters coming in. Thank you for writing, but don't write on this side.
I only said it because I would like someone to write to me. I never did that.
Actually, he often does it in order to try them out and see if they will challenge him. He dares them. Kenneth, stop yawning and let's carry on. You have the subject for a correct challenge. You have 50 seconds on Minnie's, starting now.
She was dewy, Minnie Dyer, as a soft September morn, with her cheeks as red as apples and her hair as gold as corn. Those were the attributes they said were Minnie's. They belonged to her like a bicycle lamp, which hung red on the back at night, and they could see her coming, and the view from the front wasn't as good as the one from behind.
Peter Jones has challenged. I think I know
why.
Well,
it's this red lamp on the back, and they could see
her
coming.
Yes.
She couldn't ride the bicycle backwards.
No.
Not even a woman with those attributes.
I quite agree, even with those attributes.
Rubbish. She'd say she would pedal through the village.
Backwards?
And she didn't
backwards?
Pay no mind. Up in front, her little basket, and her big red lamp behind. Good grief, if you're not familiar with the folk songs of old England, one of the great for Minnie Dyer, one of the great folk songs of England, Minnie Dyer.
If she had a little red lamp on the back and a big basket in front, they couldn't see her coming. They'd see her going if it was the red lamp, wouldn't they? No, I agree with Peter's challenge. You said the red lamp on the back and they saw her coming. If she was as big as this, with her basket as well, they wouldn't have seen the red lamp when she was coming towards them, because that was behind her, wasn't it?
You're being very meticulous, huh?
Peter, I agree with your challenge.
Oh, yes, Peter, you're lovely and wonderful. Blue-eyed boy this week, he is.
All right, Peter, you have 25 seconds on Minnie's, starting now.
They're small, square motor cars with a wheel on each corner, and they've been exported.
Kenneth Williams has challenged why?
Of course the wheels aren't on each corner. You're being so meticulous, I think you'll have to disagree with that. But if
I do
the
disagree
wheels
with...
were on the corners, it'd be a very funny car.
I do disagree with it, Kenneth. I do. I disagree with your challenge. Because everything must have a corner, providing it's not round, and a Minnie is not round. So there must be four corners to a car, and approximately as far as you can get, you have
Of course there are corners, but the wheels aren't on the corners. They're underneath, and the chassis, and they all face in the same direction. How can they be all going on corners?
We are being very imprecise now.
Beautiful rabbit.
Actually, a Minnie...
You agree, chef, always half the audience, you
can't beat. Actually, the more you, if you put it to the audience, it'll only make me go the other way, actually. I'll be determined to give it a go.
You will earn their despite. They'll hate you for it.
Have I earned your despite?
Yes!
Well, go on, we'll get another audience in. But I tell you what I do, I will be fair. I will put it to the superior judgment, knowledge, and intelligence, and I ask you, in spite of the encouragement that you have received from Kenneth Williams, who has been appealing to you in a very underhand way, in this particular way, unsportsmanlike, I would put it. If you agree with Kenneth Williams' challenge that the wheels of a Minnie are not on the corners, would you boo? And if you disagree, and that Peter Jones is correct in what he says, or almost correct, that's enough in this, would you cheer? And will you all do it together now? Kenneth Williams, I have to bow to the superior judgment of the audience. You have the subject. Minnies don't have wheels on their corners. You have 19 seconds on Minnies, starting now.
Well, they are very renowned for the fact that they use up very little petrol.
Peter Jones, a challenge. Why?
Repetition of very. They're very renowned and they use up very little petrol.
And that's a very little challenge. I'll tell you what, it is so tough. If we start you know, immediately buzzing on every berry and aff and if.
You mean I ought to hesitate first?
Well, of course, if you're going to challenge on that, I have to be fair and say yes. So, all right, Peter, you have a point and you have the subject back, and there are 11 seconds left starting now.
And another wheel for steering it inside the car. And this is a light metal device which is attached by a ratchet or some other.
Peter Jones then speaking when the whistle went, so he gained the extra point then, and he has increased his lead at the end of that round. Sheila Hancock, we're back with you. Your turn to begin. The subject is shortening. Can you talk about shortening? You're shortening your thumbnail at the moment in anticipation of it. 60 seconds starting now.
This is a sort of bread that Mama's little baby is very fond of. But I haven't the slightest idea how it's made, so I'll go on to the subject of shortening dresses, which is something I know a great deal about, having been a younger sister. I don't think I ever had a new dress when I was a child. I had shortened...
Kenneth...
Deviation, this is plainly appealing to the audience for sympathy.
Oh!
I'm not having this.
Well,
I,
look
plainly
who's
making a direct appeal. Yes. She's trying all that pathos
yes,
up
I
on.
Yes, quite
pathos
agree, Kenneth.
Is she a pathos? She's trying on the pathos, isn't she? The one woman's crying. Look at her.
And Kenneth, I quite agree. And the last time somebody appealed to the audience, they got a point from them, and that was you.
Oh.
So I will give Sheila a point from this. I will give Sheila the point, and she has 38 seconds on shortening starting now.
What happens is that you have to stand on a chair, and your mother turns up the hem with some pins. After which, usually, if she's a very thorough needlewoman, she tacks it up, tries it on again to see that it is level, and you have to swivel round, and she measures it from the hem to the ground.
And Fremen Freud challenge.
Repetition of hem.
Yes, that is correct, Clement, and you have 16 seconds on shortening starting now.
In the United States of America, shortening is a term given to any sort of fat, be it dripping, butter, or cooking oil. And this is very deceiving for people.
Kenneth Williams, a shout.
Very deceived.
You were very sharp then. I gave you the benefit of the doubt the last time you challenge Clement Freud, actually, on hesitation. I'm going to give Clement the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, to be fair, and say, Clement, you have 4 seconds on shortening, startening now.
Take a 6'2" woman and use shortening if you are...
So Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, so he has gained 2 extra points in that round, taking him into the lead alongside Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock's in third place, 2 points behind, and Kenneth Williams, 2 points behind Sheila.
Oh.
And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. My goodness, that is the subject that Ian Messiter has written on the card for you to talk about for 60 seconds starting now.
I associate it with a rich, dark drink. But my own goodness, I suppose, it's very embarrassing for me to try to even talk about it for a minute. And,
Kenneth Williams.
Sorry to say embarrassing. Why don't you shut up and let me do it? I'll do it.
I'll bet you.
Well, you'll talk about Peter Jones's goodness, will you?
Yes, if you like. I'll have a go.
No, I think what we do there is, I think it was a very nice joke. Thank you for the laugh you gave us, Kenneth. But it wasn't a real challenge, so the only fair thing to do is to leave the subject with Peter. Nobody gains any points. Peter, you have 47 seconds on My Goodness starting now.
And it can be drunk with shellfish, this dark, rich liquor.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of dark. We've already
yes, and the rich,
yeah,
and the liquid.
All that sort of stuff.
So, Clement, you turn a point, and the subject, My Goodness... 42 seconds starting now.
It was Easter Tuesday in 1963 when this sad woman walked out to sea and found, having lost her depth and her knickers, that there was nothing she could do but cry out for help or succor, at which I took off my vest, my trousers, and my jacket and dived into the sea. Swimming strongly with both arms, I reached her, rendered her unconscious with a sharp blow to her upper neck, and dragged her back to the firm sand of the beach, which many people thought was my goodness, but in fact I knew that she had in her wallet £4 £20 notes.
Actually challenged half a second before. You were doing a Clement Freud on us.
Yes,
what is it?
I'm challenging for deviation. Whereabouts on her person did she have the wallet? If she was stripped down to
Yes. Knickers
or whatever it was.
Yes. Well,
I didn't say she took anything else off, but just her knickers. She was she had a money belt.
A likely tale.
The whole thing's a likely tale, isn't
yes.
it? Well, what do I do? I mean, we didn't establish
Oh,
that
let
she
him
had...
have it. I don't care.
No, I think I should let you have it, because he plays the game far more
I don't believe the whole story. Actually, I don't believe Clement would for 1 minute strip
Never mind,
off his clothes
that
and
he was most wonderfully fluent.
It was wonderfully fluent, but I don't believe
she had £20. She would stand on the bank negotiating.
Yes.
I don't believe she had this £20 on, and I think that was his fluency eluded him at the last few seconds, and Sheila got him very cleverly with half a second to go. My goodness, Sheila, starting now.
It is...
Got in Chairman Freud challenge on a quarter of a second. What is the challenge?
Hesitation.
No, I don't think it was quite. Almost hesitation, but not quite. So, Sheila, you have 0.5 seconds to go on My Goodness, starting now.
I happen to be very...
Sheila actually got 2 points at that particular moment.
Blasted the mic, too.
So she's taken the lead. She's alongside Clement Freud. They both have 7 points at the end of that round. Peter's trailing by one and Kenneth by four. And Kenneth, you begin the next round. And the subject is Hooters. If you talk about Hooters. 60 seconds, starting now.
It's a very interesting slang term for noses. And Bernard Shaw maintained that the larger these were, the better it was for the resonance in the vocal sense of the word. Now, he always maintained that if you placed your palm against the spine of a person and listened to the deep register, you could feel the vibrations they were giving off, so to speak. And Paul Robeson had very fine
Sheila Hancock
reverberation,
yes.
I meant, you see. I meant to say reverberation.
Yes. Now, Sheila challenge first.
Yes, it's repetition and a touch of deviation plays in.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes they're regular, you see, they're very clever. They come up to a word they lose and they very quickly think and change to another. How can you change another word for vibrations on the spur?
I was going to reverberation.
Oh, yeah, bad luck. You didn't out, Ken. Sheila, I agree with Njand. You have 26 seconds starting now.
You can have type or the low ones. There are also those rather nasty ones that tune and I think don't feel the function about warning people that a car. I have a very ordinary, straightforward one that allows people to know that they're out of the way. Refer to the slang use of it. We have a fine selection on this team.
I think she was just about to refer to the parson's nose, actually.
Yes.
Sheila, you were speaking when the whistle went, so you got an extra point, and alas, we have to wind up the show because we have no more time. To tell you the final result, Kenneth finished a moderate fourth to Peter Jones' mild third, to Clement Freud's tough second, to our undoubted winner of this week, Sheila Hancock. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again next time. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.